Today's shiur begins at the bottom of Chof Beis Omid Beis of Maseches Bava Basra. We open up with an incident, and with our marking system, you can see in the lower left-hand corner of the Gemara text, a term Maisa circled and the beginning of a dashed vertical line. This indicates the extent of this particular Maisa, and it goes till the Mishnah. Rav Yosef Havilei Hano Toli. Rav Yosef owned some small palm trees. Davu Osu Umni V'yasvi Tusayu. Blood letters used to come, enjoy the shade provided by these trees, sit under the trees. Tosfos points out that these blood letters were sitting on their property. So you have Rav Yosef's trees on Rav Yosef's property with branches creating shade under which the blood letters were sitting on their property. The Osu Orvi Achli Doma, the Orev birds, Orvi type of birds, came and feasted on the blood. Visalki Viyasvi Betoli. After feasting on the blood, they fluttered up and sat on the trees, Rav Yosef's trees. Umafsidi Tamri, and thereby ruined the dates. In other words, the presence of the bloodletting attracted the birds, and the birds eventually ruined the dates. Amar Luhu Rav Yosef. Apiku li kurkur mehocha. Literally, we get rid of these birds from here. Rashi, though, does a klomar over here, and the klomar expression of Rashi on the second line means don't literally translate. And he says, Rashi says on the second line, apiku li klomar al yakizu li oid kan. Sha'al kein ha'orvin boin. Don't continue bloodletting here. That's when he was get rid of the birds. He's really telling them, don't do your bloodletting over here. Amar le Abaye v'ha gromahu. At best, it's a function of indirect damage. The blooders aren't ruining his tree. They're doing their thing, and it's causative. They're causing the damage to happen by attracting the birds. Amar le. Rav Yosef responds, Hochi Omer Rav Tuvi Bar Matona, Zois Omer, Groma Ben Ezekin Osir. We said that in the previous shiur, and we have an arrow indicating this as well. You can see where this came from the bottom of Chof Beis Omid Beis, with our pre-marked Shas Ozer Gemara edition. Take advantage of all the markings you have available. And this arrow, with a daf written next to it, indicates, look on the daf referred to, but also make sure that there's a parallel daf reference on the other arrow. And you can see that at the bottom of Chof Beis Amid Beis, an arrow indicating Chof Gimel Amid Aleph. So, that having been said, Rav Yosef seems to have a position that they should leave, because Groma Benazikin, causing Nazikin, even if it's not direct, but it's causative, is still forbidden. Question, Vo Achzik Lehu? But they've been doing this for a while. They've gained a form of Chazoka. Gemara responds, Omar, Ho Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Bar Avua, Ein Chazoka Lenezikin. There are situations that a person might tolerate for a certain amount of time, but it reaches a certain point that he can't deal with it anymore. It's because it's hurting him. That's the concept of Ein Chazoka L'Nezikin. Use rights, yes, but not when the use rights start to hurt the party that was allowing it till now. The Gemara asks, V'lav Itmar Allah. But wasn't it said concerning this point of Ein Chazokah L'Nezikin, two opinions, Rav Mori Omar Bekutra, Rav Mori said that's true, but as far as smoke is concerned, where you can have a situation that someone was allowing the neighbor to create smoke. It might be through barbecuing, it might be through processing something, might be smoking. And we're going to claim that true, there's such a thing called as cheskas shimush, person has rights, use rights. However, if it were something like this, the other party, the victim, can claim, I can't tolerate it anymore. V'rav Zvid Omar, the Beis HaKisei. Rashi explains on the third line from that, Beis HaKisei, a location where people relieve themselves. She'al gabi karka v'nira le'enayim. We're not talking about enclosed stalls. We're talking about something of an open nature, where it's visible. Shekach hoyu botei kisos shelahem. In the time of the Gemara, that's how botei kisos were constructed. There's a lot of discussion about this you find in Maseches Brochas as well. However, the point being that Ein Chazoka l'Nezikin is limited to smoke, to this Beis HaKisei concern, but it's not some kind of blanket statement. Hence, Rav Yosef is in trouble because there's a claim of Chazoka. They've been doing this bloodletting there for a while. And for Rav Yosef to try to activate the claim of Ein Chazoka l'Nezikin, that's limited. So there is a chazokah. Amar Lei, Rav Yosef responds, Hani l'didi di'anino datoi ki kutro b'sakisei domuli. These, the birds with the blood, to me, that I am a sensitive individual. I'm an anino datoi. Very sensitive, very picky, and easily disturbed. To me, it's like the smoke and the Beis HaKisei. Tosos makes a comment concerning Rav Yosef. In the halfway down the page, L'didi danino datoi pirush oya istinis. Kidamrinon barvei psochim, shloisha chayehem einon chayim. There are three people that, if they have these characteristics about them, they can't enjoy life. Harachmonin, people that are very merciful. Their every little miscarriage of justice just ruins them. They can't deal with it. They can't tolerate. They're very merciful. V'harashchana, people that have short tempers. They flip their lids very quickly. Every guy, someone went in front of him in line, loses it. Someone took his parking spot, he loses it. Every day a person encounters things that can frustrate them. So a person who experiences, has this characteristic of being a raschan, can't enjoy life. V'anine hadas, and just like we described with regard to the blood letters, the sensitive types, Omar Rav Yosef, who is the topic of our Gemara, says, V'kulu isnu bi, I am all of these. In other words, I have all of these characteristics. So one could appreciate how Rav Yosef was disturbed by this activity. Mishnah. Marchiken es ha-shoivuch min o'ir, chamishim amo. The shovuch contained birds, a bird coop. And the birds would consume the seeds, plants, seeded plants, So as to assure the inhabitants of the town that their gardens wouldn't be ruined, so people had to distance their bird coops outside of town 50 amas. V'lo yase odom shoivach b'soich shelo, elo im kein yesh lo chamishim amo l'chol ruach. person should not set up a bird coop in his property unless there's 50 amas around before you get to the next person. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, base arboas kurin, melo sheger hayona. Illustration 362 illustrates Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. V'im lokhoi, if a person purchased a piece of property and on the property there was a bird coop and the bird coop was close, was within the dimensions that we've just stated, afilu base rova, even a small area known as a base rova area, hare hu becheskoso, the purchaser doesn't have to knock it down, doesn't have to change anything. You can assume that some kind of arrangement had been arrived at by the previous owner. As far as the Gemara is concerned, we're going to take a look at the topic heading, the Nosei, Shiurin Akshurim L'Harchokas Shovach. Distances, different distances connected with the issue of distancing a bird coop. The Gemara asks, Chamishim Amo Vesulo. You don't have to distance it more than 50 amas. We had suggested that birds will consume, will do their damage, of their eating damage, within 50 amas, but no more. Veramini, well, we find a Tanaic source that contradicts this. Ein porsin nishvin liyoinim. One should not cast nets or traps to catch these birds. Elohim kein oyo rochoik min ayishuv shloishim ris. Unless he distances himself from the community, from the nearest community, four mil is 8,000 amas, roughly 4 kilometers. What's the reason? So that he doesn't catch the yoinim of the community. What do you see from this? You see that birds travel 4 mil. That's quite a bit more than 50 amas. The Gemara will offer an answer, but before we get to that, there's a Tosfos that makes a technical comment, but I think you'll appreciate it. The Tosfos in the lower part of the page, Elo im kein hirchik shloishim ris. The term ris is a distance measure. I would say it appears in other places, but it's not an often used expression or a method of measure. So he says, Hainu dalid mil. 30 ris is 4 mil. Dehamil, 1 mil is shiva ris umechza. Is 7.5 ris, 4 times 7.5 is 30. 30 ris is 4 mil. Upa'amim shagamora noisen shiur barisin, upa'amim bemilin, upa'amim beparsa. That's the style of the Gemara. It's not necessarily a point that one would get, in learning, should necessarily stop and try to analyze why this as opposed to that, when in fact that's the style of the Gemara, as far as what Tosfos seems to say here. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a question on hand. The Mishnah suggested that birds travel a distance of 50 amas. We have this source that suggests they travel 4 mil. Omar Abaye, meshet shaiti tuva. As far as flying, they fly much more. They fly a lot. Ukresayu bechamishim am somalia. But as far as filling their bellies, meaning satisfying their hunger, that they will do within 50 amas. Beyond 50 amas of where they're located, they will find everything they need to eat, and they won't mafsid the zroim that are further than that. Question. Umeshet shloishim ris v'sulo. You're telling me about the distance they travel is only 30 ris, namely 4 mil, and not more v'hatanya. We have a Tanaic source. Ubayishuv afilu meo mil lo yifros. As far as setting up traps are concerned, if you're in a yishuv area, yishuv, we're going to translate, but bear in mind we're going to have to deal with this expression later, in a settled area, you have to maintain a distance from of 100 mil. That means within 100 mil of someone else's birds, don't set up traps. So, but you said they travel 4 mil. If I keep a distance of 4 mil away from the next bird coop, I'm all right. Here you're telling me 100 mil. Rav Yosef Omar, Bishuv Kromim. Illustration 365 shows what we're talking about here, that if there is a continuum of trees, of vines, of vineyards, between where I want to place my traps and the next bird community, I had better make sure that I'm at a 100 mil distance. Why is that? The birds will, in their flight, will take advantage of the trees to rest and then continue their flight. And again, rest and continue their flight. They use the fact that there's a continuum of trees, of vineyards, from where they're located in their shovachs and their coops to where I want to place their traps, that increases their distance ability. Number two, Rabba Omar B'Yishuv Shoivchin. Illustration 366. That I, between where I want to place my traps and the birds in concern, there are many other bird coops. Moore asks, if that be the case, don't I have to concern myself with those other bird coops? Up till now, you're telling me keep my bird, my traps 100 mil from the city. Namely, it seems to be that I'm concerned with the birds of the city. Then we asked, well, what do you need a distance of 100 mil for? We answered because, in the second answer, namely Rabbo's answer is because between the city and where I want to place the traps, there's a continuum of other bird coops. So my traps, fine, they might be 100 mil from the city, but are they not close to all of those bird coops between me and the city? Yeah. So how can you allow that? The Gemara offers three answers. Why is it that I'm not concerned with all of those bird coops between the city and where I want to place my trap? Because all of those bird coops belong to this gentleman. They're owned by non-Jews. So if I happen to catch those birds, it won't be of concern. That all of those bird coops are unowned. And as such, it would be no problem if I catch them. The only birds that would be problematic would be the town's birds. Therefore, if I'm 100 mil from town, I can set up the bird coops without paying attention to this Yishuv Shel Shovchin. Rabbi Omer, Beis Arboas Kurin v'chulei, and then what we have to pay attention to is v'im lokhu, the hemshich of the Mishnah said, if a person came along and bought a piece of property and found a bird coop positioned close to within the dimensions that were previously cited as being forbidden, and here you have it too close, so to speak, you don't have to worry. The Mishnah said, Are hu bechezkoso. Omar Rav Popo, v'itei mo Rav Zvid. Zoy soimeres, from our Mishnah, you see, Toyanin lalokeach v'toyanin liyoresh. In order to achieve a chazaka in general, one has to claim, not only have I been here for 3 years, but I bought property from you, and I've been here for 3 years, and by merely saying I've been here and no one said anything to me, that does not entitle the current resident to claim ownership. He has to offer a taina, a claim along with it, the claim being, I bought it from you. There are exceptions in which Beis Din will taina on behalf of the new occupant. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Toyanin liyorish v'toyanin lelokeach. Beis Din poischin peh v'taina liyorish ulelokeach. Beis Din places claims on their behalf. She'irir odem alehen v'yesh lo edem. Someone came along with a complaint and even brought witnesses, she'oysu shelo shelavosov, proving, witnesses defending the claim that it had once been his or his forefathers. V'zeh omer, and the current gentleman claims back, Yorashtiv me abo o lakachtiv mi ploni shutzuk bo yomim rabim. I inherited from dad, or I purchased it from so and so that had been here for a long time. Vehevi edim shehuchzuk bo oviv oy hamoicher lo shalosh shanim. And he's able to produce witnesses that his father had been machzik, had been possessor of it, or that the seller had been in possession of it. Afalpi shelo to'an v'hein lokhu mimcho o me'avoisecho. Even though the yoresh, the heir, or the purchaser does not claim that the people I got it from bought it from you, even though he doesn't claim that, toyanin loy Beis Din kein u'poischin loy peh. Beis Din says, oh, you've got witnesses that it was your father's. We'll bet that your father's bought it from this guy. The ilu lemisha lo yor shavalo lo kome achir kisha omar lo ham orer ma to oise besoich shali. If you were dealing with a regular case, namely non-heir, non-purchaser, and someone claims, what are you doing in my area? Vu omer, and the current possessor says, Hechzakti ba gimel shanim v'lo amru li davar, I've used it for 3 years and no one said anything. Tana b'masnisin de'ein lo chazaka. We're taught later in the Masechta that the possessor does not gain ownership rights. U'masnisin de'kotoni, our Mishnah that says, Harei hu b'chez kosoi ashmi'inon. The echo de lokcho me'acher ubo'u v'ir aru alav. And in a case where someone is a purchaser, bought it from someone else, and others issued complaints, ein tzorech laharchik, that the purchaser doesn't have to distance himself. Almo ta'aninon le b'shvil oisoi shelokcho mimenu. We intervene. Beis Din intervenes on behalf of the one that just purchased it, saying as follows: Nispayes im svivov b'mois ad sheni usu. The seller apparently had achieved some kind of agreement with the surrounding neighbors, either paid them or some kind of other agreement until they agreed. Hence, the purchaser sees the bird coop in close proximity to the neighbors. He doesn't have to distance himself. There was probably a previous arrangement. That's the concept of ta'aninon le lalokeach. The Gemara asks, what do I need our Mishnah for this purpose? Yoresh ta'anina. We have double underlined this expression, Yoresh Tanina, because you'll see on the next line, Lokeach Lamin Tanino, the same type of question is repeated twice. What's the question? What do you have to teach me this through our Mishnah when we have another source that expresses this? And it says, Habo Mishum Yerusha, Eino Tzorech Taina, that someone who is occupying a piece of property through inheritance, he doesn't have to make a taina. He doesn't have to make the claim, you sold it to dad. The Gemara says, you're right. Lokeach itzterichalei. The case of ta'anin lelokeach is what our Mishnah accomplishes. Gemara asks, lokeach nami tanina, but we have another Tanaic source for lokeach as follows. Lokach chotzer ubo zizin ugzustrois. A person purchased a chotzer, and in the chotzer there are things that, like balconies, other protrusions that protrude toward the Rishus HaRabim. Outhangings, protrusions into Rishus HaRabim are generally speaking forbidden. I can't have on, if I have a piece of property, a house, a yard with a wall around it, and I want to hang a pole protruding from my wall that borders the Rishus HaRabim into the Rishus HaRabim, I would not be allowed to do that. Here you have someone that bought a piece of property, and he notices that there's, from his property, there is protruding these things over the Rishus HaRabim. He doesn't have to remove it. Let's take a look at Rashi. Loka chotzer ubo zizin. Becheskes habatim tnan, illustration 368. Ein motzin zizin ugzustros l'rishus HaRabim. Odom haboine bias. Lo yotzi roshe koros tikroso l'rishus HaRabim. A person who builds a house is not allowed to have the edges of his beams, the tips of his beams, extending to Rishus HaRabim. Aval im rotze, if a person so desires to have protruding beams from his house, he has the following option, illustrated in 369. Koines binyonoi lesoich shelo, he can build his structure set off from the Rishus HaRabim, have it built within his property, uboine, and there build, umotzi roshe koroisav lachutz, and have the edges of the beams sticking out. Where are they sticking out? They're sticking out over what's his own property at this point. V'im lokach chotzer, if a person came and purchased a chotzer and had these items protruding over Rishus HaRabim, arehu becheskosa shebezdin toyanin lo sheharishon koines lesoch shelo, that what really took place is that what appears to be now Rishus HaRabim really was once private land. What happened? The owner built his house set off of the Rishus HaRabim, had these poles extending over what was then his property, and in the course of time, the Rishus HaRabim developed over here too. So we're telling us that the Rishon, that the first guy was Konasochelo, or he came up with some agreement with the Rabim allowing him. That's, the end of the Rashi on Espayesim HaRabim. What have we seen, though? We've seen that the case of Lokeach has also been taught previously, that Toyanin LaLokeach. The Gemara says, Tzricha, I need both examples. We have squiggle underlined the expression Di'i Ashme'inan here, and three lines later, which helps to bring out why I need both cases. Di'i Ashminan Hosam Gabi Rishus HaRabim. If I would have told you the concept of Toyanim LaLokeach in the context of Rishus HaRabim, Amor
Koines l'sok shelohu. There I could explain why it's Bechezkos. So because the original fellow had he withdrew into his own property and then built. Inami. Achuli ochu b'nei rishus harabim gabei. Or the public was moichel to him. Go ahead and do it. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Four lines from the bottom. Eimo l'toch shelohu koines. She'il mole kein, if not for the fact that it was koines l'soch shelo, namely, if it were a case of a house built right up along the Rishus Rabin, and he built extending beams directly into the Rishus Rabin, the Rashi says, "Hoyu harabim me'akfin olav." They would have protested immediately. "Falohoyo yochol asoyz bizra." He wouldn't have been able to strong arm his way against the public. "Avo keneged hayochid." If it's a non-rishus harabim scenario, like our case, where in the Mishnah with the buying of the bird coop, "Emo bizra asa shu chazak mimenu." If it's a matter of private individuals. One guy, you have these characters that are strong arm types. They know how to push their way, impose their will on others. So if I would have taught you the case of Toyanim Lelokeach, in the context of Rishus Rabim, there I can explain how this situation arose very easily. Either it was Koneis Lesoch Shelo, it was something built, set off, and as Rashi says, because otherwise he would never have been able to get away with it. But in the case of private area, maybe it was done illegally. Continuing in the Gemara, the last expression of Aval Hocholo, but in the case of a private area, we wouldn't have the same considerations. The E Ashmeinan Hocha, if we would have taught the case of our Mishnah, the Kevan the Yochid Hu, since it involves private people, Emo Piyuse Paise. Bimamone, that he was able to buy off his neighbors. He paid them for these rights of having his, in this case, his bird coop very close to the neighbors. Inami achule ochil gabe. Or maybe the individuals were moichel to him. Avol rabim, but a case of the public. Man pies, uman shovik. Who do you pay off when it's dealing with the rabim? There's no individual you pay off. And who's going to allow it when you're dealing with the rabbim? You don't have a situation where you can talk to a particular individual and he'll be moichel. You have an entire population to deal with. So, emolo, I would have thought maybe no. There is no tanin on the lokeach there. Sricho, therefore, we have to teach both cases, both the case of a private and public situation of a lokeach where you see a questionable matter. Since it's a lokeach, since it's a purchaser in question, Besdin intervenes on his behalf. Harehu b'cheskoso. What did that mean? The bird coop that was part of a property recently purchased, and we found that the bird coop was located too close, so to speak, to the neighbors. What about the damage that the birds are going to do to the neighbors' grains, seeds? So we said, they must have reached some kind of arrangement. What kind of arrangement? An arrangement whereby the birds will be able to create damage. That's what we're saying. Question, V'omar Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Avu, Ein Chazoka L'Nezikin? The Gemara answers, that concept of Ein Chazoka L'Nezikin is limited. We saw this earlier. Rav Mori Omar, B'Kutra, that's only insofar as smoke. The nezek caused by smoke, even though a person was accustomed to having that done, he can't necessarily, based on the fact that he was accustomed to doing it, continue doing it. Rav Zvid Omar, the Beis Hakise, that the concept of Ein Chazok L'Nezikin, that's as far as Beis Hakise is concerned, the relief station, of, if you will, but Yesh Chazoka L'Nezikin if it's other things. Mishnah. Nipul Hanimsa. The young bird, Gozal it's called, is found Besoich Hamishim Amo, within 50 amos of a bird coop. Hare Hu Shel Bala Shovach. We can assume that the bird is owned by the owner of the coop. Chutz mechamishim amo, hare hu shel moitzoi. To illustrate the betoch hamishim amo, you have illustration 370. And now we'll look at 371. Nimsa bein shnei shovchos. You found a bird between two coops. Korov lozeh shelo, korov lozeh shelo. The closer bird coop will get the bird. Mechza al mechza, if the bird is equidistant between the two coops, shneim yachloku. The Gemara will introduce us to a major sugya, a major idea that's dealt with by the Gemara. When you have a matter of doubt and you have two competing forces that might resolve the doubt, which one do you rely on? And what are the two competing forces that we'll discuss? One is Rov and the other one is Korov. Do you go according to quantity, majority, or proximity? To appreciate this, we'll continue in the Gemara to see its application. Once again, though, we're dealing with how does one resolve a matter of doubt? In this case, we'll call, say, doubt regarding ownership. Amar Rabbi Hanina, Rov v'Korov, if you have these two forces and they're competing with one another, and we'll see this as the Gemara unfolds, how to apply this idea of these being competing forces. Hoyochin achar harov. Follow the majority. V'afagav de ruba doiraisa v'kurva doiraisa, even though both concepts are Torah-based concepts, and Rashi cites the relevant psukim that bring this out. You can see this on the fourth line from the top. We have a little asterisk in the Rashi saying V'afagav de travayu de raisa ruba de raisa dechtiv achrei rabin lahatois. Posuk says follow the majority. V'kurva is de raisa dechtiv v'hoyo ha'ir ha'kroiva, where a murdered individual is found between two cities. The Parsh of Eglo Arufa, there's a ceremony that the Torah legislates that involves bringing a calf and chachomim that assemble, and we're not going to get into details, but who is obligated, which town is obligated to do this, to perform this ceremony? The closer town, Korov. So I don't know from where the murderer came. How do we determine who brings the Egla Arufa? Not the larger city, the closer city. Rav Hanina's shita, therefore, is what? That when you have Rov, a Korov, Rov is Adif. Rov is the way to go. Let's take a look at the note on the side, which explains, as you already saw, the oncoming triangles. The note on the side explains the geometric forms that you find in the Shas Ozer edition, and it says, Kushyos al Rabbi Hanina, di Omar Hochen Achar Harov. That having been said, let us see the questions inside. Mosiv Rabbi Zera.
V'hoyo ho'ir ha'kroivo el ha'cholo. This is the topic we just mentioned through Rashi, the topic of the murdered individual and the necessity of performing the mitzvah of Eglu Arufa. What does the Pasuk say? The city that's closest to the victim. Notice how we've dashed, underlined the word Hakrova, because that's the essential point of the question. The Gemara continues. V'afagav de'iko achriti de'nefisho minei. Even though there are other towns in the area that are greater in population, nevertheless, the Korov is the one, the closer one, brings the Eglo Arufa. So the Gemara says, and Bedeleka, there is no larger town in the vicinity. Question. Falezel Bosaruba Diama, the murderer, where did he come from? You're telling me he came from the closest community? Maybe he came from Rove of the world. The world population is greater than the population of the closest community. So why do we insist on the closest community bringing it? You see that when you have Rove versus Korov, you go by the Korov. A problem for Rebbe Hanina. The Gemara answers, B'yosheves bein hehorim. Illustration 373. The body is found in a region that's surrounded by mountains, so that you can't factor in the Ruba di Alma. They don't access this place. So all you're really left with is several communities, and the Pasuk says you go Boser Korov because you don't have any competing force. You don't have a Rove force competing. But if you did, if you had Rove versus Korov, Rabbi Hanina would tell you, go Boser Rove, follow the majority. Tanan, we quote our Mishnah, Nipol ha'nimtza b'soy chamishim amo. Harehu shobal ha'shoivach v'yafal gav di'iko achrina denofish minei. We say that if the bird is found within 50 amas of a coop, it goes to the coop that's within those 50 amas, even though there are other coops that are much larger. Morris says, Bidaleka. There's no larger private coop nearby. Question. Ihochi, Emo Seifo, Chutz mechamishim amo hare u shel moitzoi. That outside of 50 amas, it belongs to the one that finds it. Now, v'i b'daleka, what's the situation here? We have only one bird coop. There are no others in the area. That's how you set up the Mishnah. And we have a bird 52 amas away from it. Why are you telling me that you can take it? Vadai me'ahu nofal, it most certainly must have come from that bird coop 52 amas away. The Gemara answers, Hocho b'may askinon b'medoda. Our Mishnah is describing a bird that waddles along. It doesn't fly. And as such, there's a rule that deals with waddling birds. Tiyomer of Ukva Barchamo, Kol ham midoda, Ein midoda yoiser mechamishim amo. Waddling birds will not waddle away from their coops more than 50 amas. Therefore, if I find one 52 amas from the nearest bird coop, it doesn't belong to that bird coop. Before we go on, let us take a look at the Rashi. Hocho b'mayaskinon, kulo masnisin mitartso b'medodo. We can explain the whole Mishnah with this scenario, with this example of the waddling bird. Begoizel sheino yocho la'uf, elo bedidui me'at me'at. it waddles, it can't fly. It can't fly, or maybe it flies just by hop, skips, and jumps, but it's in very small increments. Hilkoch, toich chamishim amo, shabala shovach. The afagav, the eco achrini, chutz le chamishim amo, the nofish. If it's within 50 amas of a given coop, even though there are other coops that are larger outside of 50 amas, it goes to this one that's nearest. The chol hamedada, enoy medada yoiser mechamishim. That all waddlings take place up till 50 amas. The chutz shel chamishim. Shel motzao, outside of 50, it belongs to the finder. The kevon, the ein medoda yoiser mechamishim, veze yotza chutz lechamishim. Since waddling doesn't take place more than 50, and you found this more than 50 from that coop, nofak le mitoras medoda vekom le betoras mafriach. The Iko Lemezal Bay Bosa Ruba Di Alma. If it's found 52 amas away from that particular bird coop, then I can't associate it with the bird coop, with that one. I have to associate it with the rest of the world. And as such, go find the owner. You keep it for yourself. Continuing in the Gemara. Boi Rebbe Yirmiya. Ragloi Achas Besoch Chamishim Amo. What the din be if the bird is 1 foot within 50 amas and 1 foot is beyond the 50 amas? And we're talking about this waddling bird. The Gemara notes, Aldo afkuhu the Rebbe Yirmiya mi bei midrasha. Because of this question, they threw him out of the base medrash. You'll ask, what's the problem? Because it sounds like a contrived case. Tosfos explains. The aldo afku the Rebbe Yirmiya mi bei midrasha ein lefaresh. Don't say the following, and we've noted this in singular quotation marks till the end of the line, namely, don't say all of the following. Mishum deboi milsa delo shchicha klal. Because he asks something that's very uncommon. Deheichi yisrami deraglo achas toy chamishim veraglo achas chutz chamishim betzimtzum. How could it be that it's so exact, that one leg of this bird is within 50 yamas and the other one is outside, so exact? That's not a problem. If you want to ask a question like that, you can. The Mishnah itself speaks about a case like that. The Mishnah gives a case of being half and half, half close to this one, half close to that one. The Nira l'Rabbeinu Tam, the Mishum Hochi Afkuhu, Mishum De medoda, we mentioned we're talking about a waddling bird. Eino medoda klau yoiser mechamishim amo afilu ragloi achas. Dechol midois chachomim kein hu. And apparently this is what bothered the chachomim there, that in his question he's challenging an established fact that was established on the chachomim. That was apparently considered a bit brazen. However, there is more to this story than meets the eye or meets even the next coming Amudim. Because by the end of this Masechta, Rav Yirmiya will be reintroduced into the base medrash. Toshma, the Gemara continues. Nimtza bein shnei shovachos, korov loze shelo v'korov loze sheloi. He found a bird between two coops, the bird, the closer coop gets the bird. That's korov. V'yaf agav dechad minayu nofish mechavrei. Even though the other coop is larger, contains more birds. So you see that we follow korov as opposed to rov. A problem for Rabbi Hanina. Mora says, Hocha b'mayaskinon, sheshnehen shovim. They're both of equal size. Question. V'lezel bosar ruba di alma. Rashi. V'lezel bosar ruba di alma v'lehev eshel motza'o. Let it be belong to the finder, the kosaka daitach. The thought, the havamina here, the nimtza bein shtei shovros, this case, achutz l'chamishim amo nami koi, the nofik le mitoras medoda. That this din is stated even in a case where you're outside of 50 amos and it's no longer a bird who's characterized as medoda. If it's outside of 50 amos, so that how's the bird over here? It's because it's able to fly. It's as Rashi had mentioned earlier, it doesn't have the medoda status. So why is it that it goes to the closer one? If it's not a medoda, why don't you follow Ruba di Alma and keep it? More answers, Hocha b'mayaskinon, b'shvil shel kromim. Illustration 378. The bird is found in an enclosed area. It's in an area enclosed by vines. De im isa de me alma osi, if you were to think that this bird came from the general world, kivon de mididi, since we are dealing with a waddling bird, lo motzi osi, it wouldn't have been able to get here. Why? De chol de mididi, v'hoder chozi le lekine mididi, v'ilo lo mididi. Not only is distance an issue with these waddling birds, but also visual contact. That it will waddle and waddle and waddle, provided it has visual contact with its original location, with its source. We'll take a look at Rashi at the top. B'shvil shel kromim, the al yedei kromim modeda chutz lechamishim amo. That with the assistance of the plants of the vines, the bird can waddle more than 50 amos. Umiyu. However, to determine ownership, we're not going to be able to associate the bird with rove of the world. A bird, as long as it can see its coop when it turns its head, it will continue to waddle. If this bird came from the general world, lo motzi chozi lekine, it wouldn't be able to see its nesting area. The kromim afsikin lefonov. The kromim block it. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.